James Holman is with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and he's on the other end of our line. James, good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
All right, I saw this story, and I didn't know what to think. It seems so astronomical. Chevy Volt costing taxpayers up to $250,000 per vehicle. This might be the most government-supported car since another vehicle. Tell me about this.
The other vehicle was the Trabant, the infamous East German clunker that was run through state-owned enterprise. But the Chevy Volt, from the suppliers to the assembly line to the showroom, is getting loads of incentives from the state and federal government. From the $7,500 incentive to purchase it to subsidies for battery manufacturers. So when I added all of these up, it amounted to $3 billion. Now, it's unlikely that they're ever going to get all of that. I mean, there's some performance goals they may or may not meet, and a lot of these things never go out as planned. And if you've seen the Chevy Volt sales figures, apparently it hasn't been going exactly as planned, but, you know, that happens. But when you tally it all up, and the Volt is not guaranteed to sell another single vehicle, if they cashed in all the incentives, it would amount to $250,000 per vehicle. It's a massive amount of support for this project.
Well, especially since the cars are selling for between $40,000 and $50,000.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I wish the car the best, and apparently the 6,000 people that purchased them, at least the ones that aren't purchased by governments for government use, they seem to like them. And from what I understand, it's a marvelous piece of engineering, but it shouldn't be a marvelous piece of engineering that costs taxpayers as much as it has.
Now, I'm sure there are going to be people who read this who are going to say, all right, James, we understand, but we had to get this manufacturing underway. We had to get this product underway. We had to get it out. We're worried about our dependence on foreign oil. We want the environment to be cleaner. We need to develop this, so we may take a hit for some time to get this underway. How would you respond to that?
I would just look at the sales figures and the projected sales figures. The Volt is not meant for mass consumption, but for wealthy people that are concerned about the environment, that have the means to lower their carbon consumption. So it's not meant to be the car that every American drives.
But if you look at the long-term ramifications, it always takes some time to get a product out, to get it developed, especially something this new. It's going to take a long period of time. Let's start now instead of 20 years from now. It may take 5. It may take 10 years or so. It may take 20. We're getting a jump start on it. What do you think about that?
Well, if that was the case, it certainly wasn't part of the credit agreements, wasn't part of the subsidies. These things were short-term, let's just get something out there, let's show that that we're doing something about this instead of actually trying to fix the problem. I mean, the Volt at its heart is more about political development than it is about economic development. The politicians that supported all these programs at all levels of government really wanted to show that they were doing something and that they were trying to help. But the bottom line is it's just not enough, and there's no prospects for the uncertain future.
Okay, is there something that can be done from your perspective that could help this challenge that they have of selling these cars?
I think Chevy and the people at GM are the experts at marketing. I like the way that it's going. I don't have any fuss about it, and I hope everything goes well. What I want this to be, though, is a warning for all these future prospects, because the Volt isn't going to be the last of the projects that all governments get behind. But the $3 billion should be a warning to politicians to think more about this, to say what you're really getting out of it, to limit the exposure that it has on taxpayers.
Are there other projects coming down the pipeline that we should be looking for, and that you're trying to warn those politicians before they dole out the money to take a closer look?
Oh, in the state of Michigan, I call them an industry du jour for the last decade, biotech, wind power, film industries. In fact, the film industry is the one that I'm particularly looking at. They're planning on rolling out a new film incentive. It's going to be a little bit less, but they're doubling down on this bad investment.
Now, you know, when you talk about the film industry, we get differing numbers from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and folks who support your numbers. It says that the incentives that these companies get definitely doesn't bring in the work or the money into the state. Now, when you talk with many others who support this, including the folks with the MEDC, with folks who are in the film industry, they say they create a lot of jobs and they create a lot of exposure for the state. How do you respond to that?
Well, we're actually using mostly the same numbers that we're looking at. It's just they're using an economic multiplier to say, you know, we threw a dollar down this hallway, it echoed 20 times, so we're going to count 20 echoes too. But what they're not counting is, and this is one of our key disagreements over it, is that in order to throw that that dollar down the hall, you had to take it from someone else that was going to do something else with it. And I think people generally know how to best spend their own money to benefit themselves. And if we let everyone do that, things would be much better off.
Do you think, and I guess this is a question that'd be better asked from the perspective of the Mackinac Center, should the government ever be involved with subsidizing things like this?
It's just not going to work. We've got a long history of all these politician dreams of guiding how the economy is going to go, saying this is the future, let's get behind it. But a much more efficient way is just to let people do it themselves. It's not always going to be perfect, but it's going to respond in a much quicker fashion without having to get 435 congressmen on your side or the 140-some state legislators on your side to get behind a vision. So I would rather markets take care of how the future is going to look for politicians.
I would encourage folks to make sure they check out the website for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Always interesting information there. Jerry James Holman's been kind enough to come on the program with us this morning. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me on, Tony.